I feel the need for speed.
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
I love you, never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
No, I am your father.
I'm Batman.
I'm Spartacus!
Bond. James Bond.
Time to go behind the scenes of another classic movie.
Your mother would never forgive me if I took the view.
Mother would want you to have it.
On no account. The view of the Arno is yours.
I don't know why we're arguing, because we don't have it. We have no view.
I have a view. I have a view, so does George. My son George here. You can have our rooms, and we'll have yours. We can change. But why shouldn't you have them?
Thank you very much indeed. We could not impose on your kindness.
Why?
You see, we wouldn't...
Hush, Lucy.
Women like looking at a view. Men don't. George, persuade them.
It's obvious they should have the rooms. There's nothing else to say.
Signora?
No, thank you.
Why shouldn't you change? We can clear out in half an hour, 15 minutes. It's ridiculous, these niceties. They go against common sense. Every kind of sense. I don't care what I see outside. My vision is within. Here is where the birds sing. Here is where the sky is blue.
A scene from the Merchant Ivory classic, A Room with a View. And to tell us all about it, television producer with Mind the Gap Films, Bill Hughes, good morning.
Good morning, Jonathan. You just heard the marvellous Denham Elliot in full flight there in his Oscar-nominated part. It's just a beautiful... I just felt with all the testosterone in the air because of the World Cup, it was time for a little bit of romance. And so A Room with a View, 1985, directed by James Ivory, produced by Ismail Merchant and adapted for the screen by Ruth Proverd-Jabala. So the three of them made up the Merchant Ivory organization. And they said, "It is a strange marriage we have at Merchant Ivory. I'm an Indian Muslim, Ruth is a German Jew, and Jim is a Protestant American." So that was the thoughts. Someone once described us as a three-headed god. Maybe they should have called us a three-headed monster. And that was Ismail Merchant talking about their company. And he and James Ivory were life and business partners from 1961 until Merchant's death in 2005. And they just had an extraordinary time together. They made 44 films. And this, to me, is one of their finest, A Room with a View. E.M. Forster began to write the novel on a trip to Italy in 1901. He eventually didn't publish it until 1908. And it follows a young, very proper Edwardian English woman, played by Helena Bonham Carter, who discovers passion while on a trip to Italy. And on her return to Edwardian-era England, she has to choose between two very opposite men, the free-thinking George Emerson, played by Julian Sands, and the very repressed aesthete, played hilariously by Daniel Day-Lewis, Cecil Vise, played by Daniel Day-Lewis. And the story is romance, but it's humorous, and it's very much a critique on manners of the time. And there are more than a few little touches of Oscar Wilde in the script. But that's Ruth Proverd-Jabala who adapted it for the screen.
It had a beautiful backdrop, if memory serves. This, you couldn't get a better spot than Florence.
Oh, you couldn't. And they actually, they booked out an entire piazza so that they could shoot it in Florence. And just getting the rights to the film were incredible because 20th Century Fox had offered $25,000 in 1946 to E.M. Forster, who actually had a disdain for cinema, so he refused. And it wasn't until he died. He died in 1970. He left his what would you call them, all his royalties and his literary legacy to King's College at Cambridge. And 10 years later, in 1980, Professor Bernard Williams, who was the chief executor, he actually decided, let's talk to Merchant and Ivory about making movies of the books. And so the role of Lucy Honeychurch went to Helena Bonham Carter, and it was her breakthrough. She was only 19. And she also got an Oscar nomination, and it's not surprising. And Rupert Everett, he was supposed to play Cecil Vyse, the part that went to Daniel Day-Lewis, but he wanted to play the part that went to Julian Sands, so he pulled out of it. And Daniel Day-Lewis had taken over from Rupert Everett in the West End in a play, Another Country, which I was lucky enough to see with Daniel Day-Lewis in it. But it was also seen by Merchant and Ivory. And they decided to cast Day-Lewis from there. And Day-Lewis was given the choice. Did he want to play the Julian Sands part or did he want to play the Cecil Vyse part? And he chose the more difficult. And he said, it's the sort of person you imagine you might be in your worst nightmare. So
we've all met one of them, to be fair.
Yeah. And, you know, Freddie Honeychurch, Helena Bonham Carter's brother, was played by Rupert Graves. And then the great Simon Callow, who was mostly known for his theatrical appearances at the time, he was cast as Mr. Beebe. And then the supporting cast was just incredible. Maggie Smith, she had already done a Merchant Ivory movie, Quartet. Denham Elliott, who was best known at that time for playing Indiana Jones' friend in Raiders of the Lost Ark. And then the extraordinary Judi Dench, who didn't really have screen credits at that time, again was known mostly for theatre. And she was brought on board, and she was going to play the rambling novelist who was in the film. And her character, she had fights all the time on the set with the production, because they wanted her to play it with a Scots accent, and she was like, under no circumstances. And she held out. And she got her way, but it was very fraught for her. She didn't enjoy the process.
Yeah, but I think I have to say, I'd probably better that she did it without the Scottish accent. She's an amazing actress, and should be left to do it as she sees fit. Do you have a second clip?
I do. At this stage, they're back in England, and Helena Bonham Carter has decided, she's very conflicted, and she's engaged to the Daniel Day-Lewis character, who is such a Brit, and she calls the Julian Sands character in to tell him that this is where she stands, but he has a counter-argument.
Mr. Emerson, go out of this house and don't come back into it again as long as I live here.
I can't.
No discussion. Go, please. I don't want to call him Mr. Vyse.
You don't mean you're going to marry that man?
You're being ridiculous.
Oh, I would have held back if your Cecil had been a different person. But he's the sort who can't know anyone intimately, least of all a woman. He doesn't know what a woman is. He wants you for a possession, something to look at, like a painting or an ivory box. Something to own and to display. He doesn't want you to be real and to think and to live. He doesn't love you. But I love you. I want you to have your own thoughts and ideas and feelings, even when I hold you in my arms. Miss Bartlett, you wouldn't stop us this time, not if you understood. It's our last chance.
Oh, I think of all the romance tosh that Netflix keeps throwing at me, and you just hear 1 minute of dialogue and you realise that this film is on a different plane, and the critics loved it, Bill.
The critics loved it, and unusually, it holds a 100% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, just so you know. It's 100%, but the critics did love it. They said the hard edges of E.M. Forster's novel have been sanded off, but we still get it with a room of the view, an eminently entertaining comedy with an intellectual approach to love. It encourages us to think about how we feel instead of simply acting on our feelings. And it was nominated for 8 Oscars, including the Best Picture, and it won 3. Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Art Direction, Best Costume. It won 5 BAFTAs and a Golden Globe. And at the box office, it bought big money. It was made on a budget of $3 million. So in 1985, $3 million was still a solid budget. Goldcrest Films in the UK, they invested $460,000 in it. And for their money, they earned £1.9 million because the overall box office was $25 million. So it really set Merchant Ivory up. It was their cash cow, and it gave them then the opportunity to go on and make sensational films after.
Absolutely. It was only, they were only getting going, but they could, boy, could they pick a cast. Bill Hughes, pleasure as always. Thank you so much for joining us on Behind the Scenes. I don't know.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.